Hello and welcome to Digital Logic PC Gaming Podcast with Ender's Logic, Flopsy, and your host, Robert Digital. Now turn your game volume down, your earbuds up, and fucking enjoy.
Welcome back to another episode 2016. Hello to anyone joining us from Spreaker. I believe that's how that's pronounced. We're trying some new platforms here, doing some promoting and all that. Here with the usual gang. Sam, thanks for joining us again.
Thank you.
We're upping this to four people.
So yeah.
You couldn't get enough of the three of us.
And if we needed one more person to cut off Bobby.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Or if you guys needed one more person to cut off.
There we go.
That's probably
that's more like it.
Shut up.
So we're going to skip the usual game and go right into the big story this time, which is Oculus Rift finally has a price and a date. They had pre-orders. I got an email about this. They have pre-orders available, and they're sold out entirely by now, so you're not going to get one, unfortunately. I think these are going to ship in, what, April, March?
April, yep.
Okay. And the big thing that a lot of people are talking about is the price, $599, a little more than what we were expecting. I don't know.
Is this more than we were expecting?
I was thinking four to five, so about $100 more than I was expecting.
I'm wondering, since they are the first one out, they're kind of setting the price point. Obviously, when the other ones start coming out, then they will have to adjust to the market. I'm just wondering if they're really just taking advantage of those early adopters that will basically pay any price, i.e. Emilio, for this thing.
Well, actually, I'm waiting for the Vive, which is going to be even more expensive, they've said.
Really?
Yeah. They said that they're going for the high-end user. So,
You aren't the high-end user.
Yeah, but I might.
Bobby over here, he is the high-end user.
Bob's not even going to buy VR.
No, I will eventually, but just not at that price and not at this time. I mean, this is the first VR unit that we've seen, and there's going to be problems, not to mention it only works with a select amount of games.
Well, that's the other thing that they said, 100 games on the first year. But I think a lot of those are going to be experiences, like a big amount of those are going to be experiences.
Yeah, and I have a problem with experiences as opposed to games. That doesn't really sell me on it. I mean, they're cool for a tech demo, and they're cool for 5 minutes, and they're cool to show your friends when they come over. But other than that, this thing just grows dust on a shelf. So,
what would turn an experience into a game? Like, how much interactivity would you need in order to turn it into a game?
Well, I mean, there's lots of things, but really, how much time do you spend with it?
I was having those same thoughts this week as I was playing Life is Strange, which I'll talk about later. But
what do you mean?
Know. It's similar.
Oh, how much of a game is it?
How much
as
of a game
to
is
a narrative?
It? And it's definitely an experience, but how much game versus how much just experiencing it?
As long as it's is it 100 enjoyable things this year or that year, then cool, right?
Yeah.
Right?
And the other thing is, it's got to stay in our bang for your buck ratio, right? Our kind of one of our kind of ratios that we use is a dollar an hour.
Right.
It makes it feel kind of worthwhile.
Are you going to get 600 hours of...
No, well, I mean, if these 100 games aren't actually games, if it's $12 for this experience, I want 12 hours worth of experience out of it, is what kind of what I'm saying. Even if they're not games.
I'm feeling these things are going to be coming out in bundles. Like,
yeah.
Because if you're not a game workshop or developer, but you know graphics, you're probably going to throw one of these together.
Probably.
You know, and try to get a couple bucks off of it.
Do you think people like Disney or like Pixar would try stuff like that? Do you think that's something?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like they're going to get into
studios
it for sure.
That aren't game studios, but are CG.
I mean, Facebook is massively invested into Oculus, and so they know where the ball's rolling. And then Disney's going to be all this. It's going to be ridiculous, but we're talking. You know, I'm still of the fact that this is going to be a world changer. I think this is going to change education, travel, experiences. I mean, Total Recall, that kind of stuff. It's just going to get better and better. I feel like my feeling right now is this is right before the new console generation comes up. Like, the Oculus could be the Xbox, and the other one could be the PlayStation, and then you have the, what's the, there's one more?
Nintendo Wii?
No, it's the Sony. The Sony one.
Are you talking about the VR?
The VR system. It's a Sony, it's what?
PlayStation VR.
PlayStation VR?
Yeah.
Yeah, so those are the three big ones coming out. So I feel like, the next console cycle is coming out, and you don't know who's going to take the lead, and you probably won't know as soon as they come all come out. You have to wait for the first year. But I'm not going to... I will probably wait for the first initial reviews of the Vive, but I am almost... I'm probably like... Based on what I've read and what I know, 75% sure I'm going to be going with the Vive. And I'll explain why. The Oculus has said that it's a sitting experience, right? Yep. So you're sitting at your computer, you're wearing this thing, you got a keyboard, mouse, and it's more akin to what you're doing now with a much broader scope of your visual sight, as opposed to the Vive, which is can be a standing experience, and it's got two controllers that it comes with. Okay, let me back up real quick. The Oculus comes with an Xbox controller, some sort of other remote. I think maybe to adjust the volume.
That doesn't. Probably a volume adjust. It doesn't come with the actual remote that they advertised yet. It just comes with the Xbox remote.
Yeah, whatever that thing is.
Front facing camera.
What is that little stand?
I think that's the camera.
So you set the camera up
for your body motion?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, for head tracking.
Faces you.
Gotcha. Okay. So go to the Vive, which has the brand new one that they just unveiled at CES. We should have talked a lot more about CES. Maybe we'll talk next week. But so there's a camera on the front of it, on the front facing out. And this is not only for a seated experience. You can walk around your living room or bedroom or whatever. I don't have a lot of room in my bedroom, but that's what the front facing camera is. So imagine you're in a grassy field or a field of flowers and you're walking or whatever, and field of tits is what I'm going to be walking around in. Yep, for sure.
For sure.
And you're going to walk into a bed or a wall. It's a shimmery, like ghostly wall will be interrupting your thing, so you don't walk into it and hurt yourself. You know what I'm saying? Kind of like the Matrix, when the Matrix has a glitch.
I'm just, like, how far could you move in any room?
In this room, you would have plenty of room. This is like...
You can take one step, maybe two, from the middle of the room. You can take one step, maybe two.
What are you, goose-stepping everywhere, dude?
If you're standing right here in the middle of this room, how far can you step?
Take away the ottoman, yeah.
I think pivoting would do a lot in the game.
And I don't disagree. Especially
in a shooting game.
My whole thing with this VR thing is I just think of it too much like Wii U. Like the Wii.
That's what I think of too. I think people are overestimating how little people are going to want to get up and move around. That's not very popular with people who play video games.
And it's not even that. Like, I just wonder if VR is going to be just too much. Like, I love roller coasters, but I'm not going to spend 8 hours on a roller coaster. It's just too much. Like, I'm going to have my experience for a minute or two, have my fun, and then, you know, that was enough for me. I'm wondering if you're going to put these things on, and it's going to be so intense that you just can't do it for long hours at a time. I'm wondering if I'm sitting there on my computer, and I've got my VR headset to the right, and I got my monitor to the left, am I going to be putting on the VR headset, or am I going to most of the time just use my monitor? And then from that same standpoint, is that worth $600 now? Because unless I'm loving this thing, like, I could have one of the top of the line monitors for $600, maybe a little bit more. But, you know, I just wonder, is this really a game changer? And I know you're all on board and you're very optimistic about stuff, and that's part of the reason why I like you. But I'm just wondering if VR really is a game changer. And the other thing I'm concerned with is, pretty much everybody that talks about VR has concerns about motion sickness and everything else. Mm-hmm. You can't have the casual user use the VR because, you know, as Sam learned earlier playing BioShock Infinite, you can have motion sickness. If you're not used to gaming, motion sickness is a real thing. Now you got another layer with VR on top of that. That's going to be I'm not sure if Sam is going to be able to play VR to start with.
I don't think so either. It's going to be a... But that's a valid concern.
If I want to lose weight, maybe.
Yeah, from throwing up everywhere.
Well, at least none of these headsets cover your mouth, so that's good.
Yeah. So, just speaking right now, none of us are going to pre-order or anything like that. But
actually, is there a perk from pre-ordering, by the way?
Not that I know.
No. If you bought a DK1, you automatically get the new system free, though. So I guess that's cool. It's funny. I feel like we're at the same place. We've been talking about VR since we started this podcast.
And seriously.
It's always been the same thing. Like, basically, bottom line, we're going to wait and see. Like, we're just waiting and waiting for this thing to come around and for it to be this, glorious thing. But I don't know. I think it's going to be great at some point, sure. But right now, I'm just concerned that even though there's going to be 100 games year one, there's not going to be very good support. Even all the games that are already out for the Oculus Rift, some of them don't run very well. Some of them don't run at all. Some of them need a very specific version of software for it to work with this. You know, you're going to run into all these little technical issues that your average user and even your mild enthusiast just doesn't want to deal with in the end. So
what's keeping me hopeful is... everything that I've heard from media, from multiple sources, every dev that's tried it, anybody that's put this thing on and fucked with it is like, I wish that everybody that's being skeptical could feel what this is like.
Yeah, oh, trust me. Like, I've done some of the VR stuff recently, and it was mind-blowing. Like, it really is cool. I did where you were in kind of a mech. And it felt like I was in this mech and I was looking around and seeing everything. It was really cool. But at the same time, after 15 minutes, I took the thing off and I was
way dizzy. Disoriented.
Right? Yeah, and disoriented. And I'm like I'm saying, these 15-minute experiences are going to be really sweet. But it's not going to be something that I really will play for 6 hours at a time. Well, like I could for any other. And I'm just wondering if that $600 is worth it.
Well, I feel like if Sam keeps playing BioShock Infinite, she's going to not be getting queasy with it anymore, you know?
I don't think so.
No?
Some people just have a hard time. We're so used to it because we've been playing
first-person
shooters since...
Yeah, some people couldn't even watch the Blair Witch Project.
You've never even had a brain freeze, so you're like an anomaly.
Yeah. Your brain is immune to it.
I was getting really dizzy with Black Mesa, too.
Yeah, it's the same type of thing.
Yeah, that first person.
No, first person shooters tend to do that more than other games.
Yeah, being the perspective.
Yeah, being a different perspective.
So, bottom line, $600 is too expensive. Do we all agree with that?
Yeah, I don't think they can continue offering it at that price for any extended duration. I think a lot of people are going to buy it, but it's not going to be, everybody's not going to pick this up, and it's not going to change the world until it gets a little bit cheaper, which I'm sure it will. I mean, this is the first product.
If the Vive is $700, I think I'll be getting that this year.
Really?
Probably.
And when's the Vive supposed to come out?
Well, after... there's no hard date.
God, it still sounds like a vibrator. I really feel like it's some high-end...
In Mexico, they call it the Vive.
The Vive?
Yeah.
The Vive.
Okay, that makes sense. All right, let's get to some games.
All right. So what have you guys been playing this week?
Who wants to go first?
All right, let's just go on Aeon Altar.
Yeah.
Sure.
I think it's actually Eon.
Yeah.
Because it's Eon. So right. Those are...
Which called it?
Eon. Yeah, I don't know where you guys are getting Aeon from.
I don't know.
Eon.
There's been a lot of things called Aeon, I guess.
But they usually have like an A in there somewhere.
Yeah, the A and the E combine. Yeah. Some...
You're right. Eon Altar.
Eon Altar.
So this is an RPG.
Co-op RPG.
Co-op RPG. And it's real-time strategy.
Well, it's turn-based when you get to combat.
Is it? Yeah.
I mean,
it's weird because it all plays out at the same time. So that's the weird part of it. It's not like...
But it is turn-based. Yeah. You get your one action and then...
And then they take their turn.
I think we have to agree on who's going to go first, which is pretty nice.
Well, that's part of the strategy.
Part of the strategy is, all right, you do your attack, Sam, and then I'm going to do mine if he's still not dead.
But you
if
have
he's
time dead, to think about it for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And all I ever say is stay... behind me. We have
And all I say is, no, Sam, don't use your fireball.
And all I say, fireball?
Yeah.
That's pretty much, yeah. And the fireball is like this big, gigantic explosion that hurts us as well. And we're all just all clustered.
It's two melee characters and a girl that wants to use her fireball.
Chad knows what it's like to be a hot chick now because he gets surrounded in dudes. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah.
Just kinda penetrated from all angles.
Getting banged all over the place.
And they all just stick them from all sides. Yeah. Yeah.
And we just watch.
But so the really interesting thing about this game, and I'm actually really surprised that Sam even went along with this, is that you play, your controller is your phone. And you're looking at your phone and you're controlling it with kind of like Diablo-esque controls.
Yeah, I love it.
Kind of like an iOS game.
But wait, you're underselling this.
I'm getting to that point.
The game is on the computer screen.
Yes.
Your phone is your controller.
Yes, you have to download an app for this.
You do. You have to download an app.
And you have to be on the network that the computer's on.
Connected to the Wi-Fi.
The Wi-Fi network.
The computer's on. Okay.
And so, but the reason for all of this is the dialogue options. Your characters have their own wants and needs and secrets.
You have player-specific quests and you have group quests. And my player-specific quest could be the opposite of what Emilio's player-specific quest means. Meaning, like, my quest might be save this dude, and his quest might be kill this dude.
Right.
Or whatever. And so I need to keep working on my quests, and Emilio keeps working on his quests. So we kind of are at odds with each other, but we're still playing together. It's still co-op.
Right. And we're keeping secrets from each other.
Yeah.
Although I haven't really been reading everything, but I see what they're doing.
Yeah.
But
we're not explaining this very well.
Yeah.
No.
So I'm like a big dumb dude, right? And
he plays a character that's like
a big dumb
big
dude.
Dumb
yeah,
dude.
Yeah. Okay. So it said that I had something to think about. So they're waiting for me to go, and I'm looking at it, and it says like something really dumb. like, and my options were read this out loud or stay quiet. And when it becomes your turn, there's a whole lot less dialogue. It's not like you're reading constant dialogue like Mass Effect or something. I have to read out loud my parts for my character.
And that's part of the cool part.
Yeah, that's probably the coolest part.
Play.
Because you would just click through this shit usually.
Yeah.
And
or it would be voice acted and you're like trying to click through even though it's voice acted.
And Chad gets really into it. He's like, I'm the king of the blah blah blah.
Because I'm playing the Crusader, which is kind of like a holy knight, and he's like a good guy, so I'm overacting his roles.
I know. I should totally do him with the voice of mine, right? Like, maybe we should go this way. Okay, boss.
And but you know, I'm the only one role-playing. You guys aren't.
But when Sam goes up, she's like, she stop.
I don't read. No, first of all, I don't even read what it says. I make my own shit up.
And then she stops texting, because she's probably texting.
Ruining our game, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Sam. What? Oh, okay. And then she'll be like, the invaders are attacking us. We should go to the other place. I don't like these people. Okay. So Chad's taking it all the way. And I'm just reading through the lines. And I don't know, but
We have to work on that.
Yeah. The graphics leave a lot to be desired.
But okay. But it's still in early access. It just came out in early access. It still has a ways to go. There are still some heavy bugs. We were having some serious problems trying to get through areas. But the concept is really cool.
Yeah, concept is really cool.
So, with your having your own mobile, being on your phone, you can see your own screen. So you can do your inventory and do other stuff.
Without bothering anybody else.
There's no pause, really. You can't pause. So if you want to do inventory, you're looking at your own screen, doing your own thing.
And if me and Sam keep going and Chad's in his inventory, he just gets left behind. Yeah. He can't even see himself on the
Now we just steal all the loot.
And let's be honest, the combat was really good. I enjoyed the combat a lot. Because like you said, it's turn-based, but it's not completely turn-based.
Yeah, it plays out all at the same time.
So basically, when you get into combat, it'll be the player's turn, and then it'll be the computer's turn. But when it's the player's turn, if Sam does an action, hers just goes first. Whoever puts their action in first gets to do it. You get one action on your turn. If you choose to play it first, you can play it first, or you can play it last. So you can talk to each other and decide how you want to take your turn. So there's a lot of... And there's a lot of variations on what you can do. I have spells and attacks. She has different spells she can do. You have different defensive spells, Emilio, that you can do. So I was really impressed. Overall, I'm really excited for this game because it's doing something really different. Mm-hmm. But it's doing it different for a reason. like, I can see why, okay, here's why I'm using a mobile phone, here's the advantages, here's the perks, and right. here's why it's different than any other game, you know?
And everybody has a cell phone at this point. Yeah. Anyway, so.
So, I'm really happy that we were playing this game. I want to see how this progresses.
This isn't really a slight on it. I would say they're kind of trying to do this really big, grandiose thing, and also have this kind of, like, Lord of the Rings-esque story. I think the story might be too much.
Yeah. If we're talking as the voice,
yeah.
you need to have your words easy enough that I can say what it is, I can read it, understand what the word means, yeah. and say it.
Right.
You know? Right?
I don't know what the grand wars of things that I can't pronounce. I can't even pronounce yeah. what they're saying. Like, it's got to be a lot more simple just to get this concept across.
Exactly.
Any questions, Bob?
What happens if you die in this game?
You can pick each other up kind of like in any other game.
You've got a certain amount of time
so you before they wipe die permanently. Entirely?
Oh, you can.
You can. You can run out of pickups.
Basically, you can get, like, injured. You can be mortally wounded. Mm. And then Emil can run over and use his turn to pick me up.
Yeah.
But
because Chad keeps just dropping to his knees.
Because I'm just getting gangbanged.
He's trying constantly. To blow all these guys. I was like, dude, get up. You're fucking embarrassing us.
Oh, is this where I dropped my knees right here?
Is this what everybody comes on me?
Yeah.
But is there a way... So, there's a way where you can just completely team wipe and then you got to restart from
the same haven't
point?
Done that
we
yet.
We haven't done that. Okay. But it's been pretty simple. Hmm. The combat itself is pretty simple. We wiped one time when Sam blew us up with a fireball.
That's right.
That was nice.
No.
Yeah, that was really nice.
Yeah.
I feel like it's a Dungeons & Dragons kind of type of game.
Yeah, it's an RPG. Right? It's like playing D&D...
But fancy.
I think because fancy. Of the talking part, you can put as much effort into it as you want. If you want to just say the lines, you can say the lines. But
like Sam does.
Like Sam does.
Yeah.
And that's fine. And if you're video game players, you know...
You'll probably just say the
that's
lines.
That's probably what you're doing.
Yeah.
But if you're a D&D player...
Yeah. Well, this is playing your dream
yeah.
true.
Yeah, you're yeah. jerking off while you're yeah. doing in your full voice and everything, so... It's really what you want
five
to make
$5 for this? Not on sale?
Yeah, $5 retail.
Totally worth it. Even if it's just two of you.
But it is local co-op only.
Right.
And there is yeah. no advantages for playing this single player. Right?
Right. Yeah. This would be a horrible game.
A horrible game, single
yeah.
player.
Yeah.
So, we played a lot of co-op.
But I would still play, if it's just you and one other person, I would still play Divinity.
Yeah, for sure.
Divinity before this. But if you have three people... Probably this is the game, just because of what we've been doing.
Yeah, and I like I said, this is still early access. I want to see where it goes.
Yeah.
Does it seem like it has a beginning and an end with the story, or yeah. are you
oh,
just...
Oh, yeah, there's
a,
yeah that's our problem. Okay. I think the narrative missions. Is too much.
Well,
yeah.
What I'm asking is, there's an end. It's not like...
We don't know. We
it's not like Diablo
far.
Where you just grind and you grind and you grind.
No,
and
no,
you grind
no.
harder
no.
levels.
It seems like a story where you're experiencing the story and then you get to the end.
Okay.
Because
so it's like a campaign. It's not.
Yeah, exactly. And there's not really loot, so to speak, right now. And that's maybe a downside, but maybe not
you
a downside.
You craft all your loot.
But you don't craft. You don't get armor. You don't get new weapons. Like, there's the only thing you pick up are, like, consumables.
Or you upgrade your weapons. But you don't
can
see
upgrade.
It.
You can yeah. upgrade your stuff. So, and the other thing that's kind of interesting is there's not shared loot. So if Emilio runs forward in front of all of us and picks up all the fucking, all the gold and...
Sam's actually the number one.
And yeah. stuff, then somebody like myself, who's in the back, ends up not being able to upgrade my shit.
You can't trade loot.
Oh, you can. But it's a process. You got to go up, you got to select the other person... On your phone, you got to select request,
and then the game crashes.
Yeah,
and then
twice.
The game crashes.
Yeah, that's our biggest problem as far as glitches go. Is the game crashes when you try to trade with Chad only,
yep.
because he's the only one who needs shit.
Because I've been getting gangbanged the whole time. I ran out of condoms. I need more condoms. So.
I wonder if that's because you two are on iPhones and he's on an Android.
Oh, maybe.
I don't know.
I don't know.
But yeah,
I don't know. That sounds. I own an Android too, but that sounds like something an iPhone user would say. Blame it on them.
Yeah, seriously, Bobby. Do you have any interest in playing this? Does this seem interesting?
It does seem interesting. But
there's a road.
It is on. Oh, there are. There's classes.
Yeah,
there's
different classes. So I'm the Crusader.
Four right now.
You're the Warrior. What is he called?
I don't know.
Tank.
He's got a big shield and spear, and she's playing a Battle Mage.
Mm-hmm. And then there's
the assassin.
Yeah, and then there's
the assassin.
A couple ones that are like you can't select right now. Yeah. So they've got more classes coming.
Yeah, for sure. No, it does sound like a good game. It sucks that you have to be all in the same room to be able to play it, because it sounds like the more people, the better. Mm-hmm. But I do like that concept.
It makes sense, though, because you really have to speak to each other. Yeah. So you'd have to, if you were playing over, you know, if you were playing on the internet, mm-hmm. you'd also have to be connected somehow.
Yeah, you'd have mm-hmm. to be on comms. But I like that idea where it encourages communication between people, because there's a lot of games, a lot of co-op games even, that you can play where it's just four people staring at a screen, you know, with the glazed look in their eye. And, you know, it's nice to see games like this that actually encourage people to interact and speak with each other.
Yeah.
More of a social thing.
And any other game that would try to force you to, like, say your parts, we would never do that. Yeah. Like, if it was on the screen.
Because it was on the screen. Yeah, everybody's like, yeah, okay, yeah, read your part.
Yeah,
you know? Read your,
yeah, fuck that. But then this kind of, you have to.
Yeah.
In makes a way. It a part of the game.
It's yeah. easier to read it out than to show people.
Right, exactly.
So now you're taking the easiest route, which is now.
Plus, I kind of feel like I'm doing sneaky stuff.
Yeah, because you can lie. Yeah. You know, part of the thing is, like, you can lie and you can say other things.
It's really dorky, but I like it. I'm really into it.
You said that when we started playing. You're like, dorks. Oh my gosh, this is D&D.
Especially Chad, who was really, like, changing his voice and getting all into it.
Yeah. Fucking sometimes you gotta...
thespian shit.
Just embrace
going
it.
On.
You gotta embrace the... embrace it. Experience it.
That game was Aeon Altar.
Yeah,
way.
And super cheap on Steam right now.
$5.
$5, so...
That's not even on sale.
Yeah.
Totally worth it.
I'm wondering, is that just the early access, or is that what they're taking for the
sometimes
final
games, product? Sometimes games raise their price after early access, I've noticed. So, yeah, now's the time to buy it.
Yeah, okay. So what else have we played? Bobby, we felt like we've been talking a lot. What have you got?
I at the very end of the Steam winter sale, I bought a bunch of stuff off my wish list just because, I don't know, I figured these aren't going to go on sale for a little while. A lot of obscure titles that I picked up. And, you know, when you buy stuff that's been sitting on your wish list for a while and you're like, shit, I hope this is really good, because you've looked at it time and time again and be like, hey, should I get it? Should I not? And then you end up buying it and then it ends up not being a very good game. And you're like, well, that was a lot of leading up to absolutely nothing.
Yep.
But fortunately, a lot of these games were good, and two of them that I've been playing a lot are Shell Shock Live and Turmoil. I'll start with Shell Shock Live, because this game...
Can you bring it up so I can see what it kind of looks like?
Yeah, I'll show you what it looks like, but you know how I love the retro games back in the early 90s? Yeah, surprise. Back in the early 90s, my absolute favorite game to play when I went over to my buddy's house on his dad's computer, Windows 3.1, was... Tank Wars. Mm-hmm. And Tank Wars was a game where you were a tank and there were several other tanks on this 2D map, you know, this kind of terrain that was mountainous or whatever, and you just shot at each other. It was a physics game. You would shoot different kinds of missiles at each other and they would blow up. Think Worms, but extremely simple.
That's what I was thinking.
It's a lot like Worms. Worms kind of took that idea and built upon it. But Shell Shock Live is pretty much a remake of Tank Wars, which I'm very excited to see. But they've really added a lot to it. Not only graphically, but they've actually...
Wait, this is added graphics?
Yeah.
That we're looking at?
Okay. Yeah. It's very simple. If I show you the original Tank Wars, it looks it looks
nothing
extremely
like
archaic. Let me show you the original.
Oh, okay. It's all like just...
It looks like neon. The new one looks like neon. Yeah, this old one looks like...
This looks like something that you'd see on a computer in an 80s movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This seems like the same graphics when you were trying to land the landing module or whatever. Yeah. Remember that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like those math games or something.
Yeah.
But what Shell Shock Live has done is they've taken this and they've got all new different kinds of missiles that you can shoot at each other. They got a single player mode. They've got multiplayer. But they've made it to where you have to play all this stuff, earn XP, and unlock a bunch of stuff to become viable when you compete with other people. And there's a small community that's really into this. It shows you everyone else that's logged into the game when you log in. And there's some people that are like level 100, and they're on there all the time. So I know it's got like a strong little following.
Small, dedicated group.
Yeah, I haven't played any of the multiplayer. I've just been doing the single player, which gives you these objectives to do. Like, we're going to give you these weapons, and you have to take out these enemies in these positions. So it's kind of like a bit of a tutorial to introduce you to the weapons, but also just like an odd tasks that they give you. And they also you can also unlock or you can level up your tank. You can make it do more damage with crits. You can make it more powerful. You can make it move faster because you can move your tank left and right on the map. So you can level up your tank that way. You can change it graphically. I'm surprised they didn't turn this into a free-to-play game. Because that's what it kind of feels like. And I don't really like that part, but just the physics of this game, you know, shooting the missiles, making sure you got that trajectory right, I really enjoy that. I don't know if they're going to include this feature in the later levels, but one thing that the original Tank Wars had that this didn't was wind. And you had to take in that to account. Right. I can't remember. Did Worms do that? There's a thousand
Worms. Yeah, Worms did that.
Worms did have wind. Yeah. And I'm pretty sure the original Tank Wars had wind. Maybe I'm mistaken on that, but I noticed it wasn't in this game. Yeah, this picture is the upgrade tree that you see right there. So yeah, I've been having a lot of fun with that.
How much is this, by the way?
I got it on sale for like $4. I think retail it's $8. Okay. It's really cheap. I don't think a lot of people are going to like this game.
You going to go online, Bob?
I'll probably play some online games just to try it out, but yeah. I don't think I'll get serious.
I mean, this has been played to death, this whole concept. Mm-hmm. There's flash games that you can play that are really in-depth, like RPGs, basically, and you pick, you know, tons of characters. I want to say that maybe they're almost mobile-esque in how many characters there are, and this has been done a lot.
I played a browser game that had tanks that very similar to this, and it was like that, where you level up and you have, like, a character and all.
Yeah. Tank Wars was the original game, I think, that did this. But I remember even shortly after that on Macs, whatever the Mac was at the time, like that first one with the color, not the Apple IIe, but the one shortly after that. There was another game just like this, except you were towers shooting cannonballs at each other. So, yeah, this thing has been done to death. And this is pure nostalgia for Tank Wars talking, but I do really like this. The biggest problem that I have with it is, number one, it locks up on the Mac. It runs horribly on a Mac. It freezes the entire MacBook for me when I play on that. Like, I can't even option command escape, you know, which is like the control alt delete for Macs.
And when you're playing on your Mac, that's your casual time too, and you want to just play a casual game.
Like, yeah, that, exactly. Right? And this would be perfect for that. Right. You know, when I got I got some time to kill when I'm waiting for a meeting or something, it's like, all right, this would be awesome to do a few objectives. But yeah, that totally sucks. When I played on my Windows computer, It takes an extremely long time to load between levels. It freezes up, too. It doesn't go to a loading screen. It just freezes, and then it goes to a quick loading screen, and then you're back. And this is really annoying if you fail an objective. They have a restart button in the top left corner that I try to click really fast before the level actually ends and says, "You failed. Would you like to restart?" Because if I go through that process, then we're looking at, like, a solid 15 seconds before I'm back into the game.
If I hit
the
reset,
yeah, it's stupid. If I hit the reset button immediately, then it's like, boom, all right, second try, here we go. And there's a lot of trial and error in this because it is like a trajectory type of game where, you know, you have to aim this high at this angle and nope, that was just a little bit off, so let me try it this way. So yeah, Shell Shock Live, having a lot of fun with that. Reliving the old days. Reasonable. Yeah, I'm glad.
Really,
I was
thinking $4 seems expensive. We were just talking how we have browser games for free, and Bobby's talking about
there are browser games that are better than that.
Yeah. Bobby was talking about how it's got fucking Kobe
Nation. I think they did a pretty good job with
the nostalgia part.
Yeah, with like bringing Tank Wars back to life. Mm-hmm. I'm a little disappointed in some of the kind of free to play aspects of it. Some of the things that just try to keep you playing, but I don't know. Overall, I'm very happy with it.
Okay.
All right. The other game I've been playing, and I'll be quick about this one, Turmoil. I don't know why it's called Turmoil other than the word that it has oil in it, but Turmoil is another game that's great if you want to kill some time. This would be a perfect mobile game. It's a, I guess it would be a strategy game. Let me see how Steam classifies this game. You are a prospector or that's drilling for oil. Simulation game. Yeah, it would be a simulation management game. So you're drilling for oil. You have to manage drilling for oil, collecting the oil, selling it when the price is high, holding on to it and storing it when the price is low, getting upgrades. It's a really simple game, a really simple simulation game, but I love those. You know, what was that one we played, Chad, with the game development company?
Game Dev Tycoon?
I think so. There's a bunch that copycatted that one, but even that game was like relatively simplistic, but still a lot of fun.
Sam, you might not know, Bob likes things that have anything to do with, like, real jobs.
Yeah.
Like, whether
like
it be...
you don't have enough
could,
your real job?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Wow. If he could figure out how to make turn Excel into a game.
He likes tasks.
Yeah.
No, well, aren't all games like that? You know, I mean, even look at WoW with the newest expansion and all the garrison shit. You know, it's...
It's true. That's why I don't play WoW right now, because of garrison shit.
Too much of a job.
Daily quests. I mean, games are just turning into to work these days. But I don't know. I enjoy Turmoil. There's not a whole lot to be said about it other than that it's just a fun little game. I think
the graphics look better. I'd much prefer these graphics than Shellshock.
Shellshock Live. Well, yeah. Shellshock Live keeps the look of Tank Wars, and then it kind of adds a little polish to it.
With
you
color
know?
And...
Yeah, they kind of colorized it and retro, put like a metal brush kind of texture
to it. I don't think I could...
I,
even though I haven't played it, I don't think I can recommend that to somebody that doesn't have the nostalgia factor.
Yeah, serious. I was thinking that same thing. Yeah. Like, if you're not in your mid-30s, you have no interest in playing Shellshock.
Yeah.
I don't... You know, who knows? Some people are really into those games. The competitive scene, I'm sure, is would appeal to a lot more people. But
Bobby's wrong. Okay, yeah, moving on.
So Turmoil is early access, though, huh?
Yeah, early access, $9.99. I think I got it for half that, so okay. Pretty happy with that. But like I said, this is a game that crosses me as more of a mobile type of game.
Speaking of mobile games, I played Guns and Zombies, I think it's called.
The classic.
Yeah, Guns and Zombies.
And
Zombies. And yeah. Don't forget, their DLC, Guns and Aliens.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Can't forget those.
Yep.
I'm playing through this, and I'm like, this is a mobile game. I played less than a dollar.
So you're playing a mobile game, and you're saying, goddamn, it's a mobile game?
No, I was playing this online.
This was us.
But I'm just looking at it. I'm looking at the controls and how everything is. And gotcha. So... Really underwhelmed, but it was like under a dollar, so I mean, it's not the worst thing I've ever played, but it's close.
What kind of game is it?
I think the reason that I bought it is because I got the DLC for free, the Guns and Aliens, and you can't play that without Guns and Zombies.
So I was like, that was clever of
them. Yeah, very clever.
Yeah.
So I was like, let me find out.
Because if they gave you the original game, there was no way you would have bought the sequel.
No, I didn't even know it existed.
But they gave you the
sequel.
The DLC.
Right.
So they made you buy the original.
Right.
Okay, so it's kind of a top-down twin-stick shooter.
Yeah, pretty much is what it is. Yeah. But, I'm not even going to go any further than that. But if you saw it. It looked pretty shitty, right?
I don't know. I was barely waking up. You were like, this game sucks. That's it. That's all I heard.
Yeah.
But it looks pretty shitty.
I would have much rather been playing Binding of Isaac. It has a couple things going for it, but I'm not even going to mention it.
I like the monsters. That's it.
Yeah. There was actually a lot of variety in their monsters. I'll give them that.
It's bright and colorful, which...
It is. Which is very good for women.
All right. Going straight into sexism. That's cool.
Well, she's a woman, so it's not sexist.
That's weird, because I was going to say
very
I liked
for
it.
Me. I liked it. But you said it sucked.
Is your, it's weird, because I was going to say I like the colors.
I'm looking
He's
at...
He's been eating a lot of estrogen, yes. Yeah. A lot of yams. Stop eating yams.
Look, our own Team Tom gave it a thumbs down.
Yeah, and he rarely gives thumbs down.
Yeah.
Thumbs down from Team Tom is... that's a harsh blow.
It's Team Thumbs Down.
Now, he tends to like a lot of things, but this game does not look good. And I like how Steam does that. I'm scrolling down and looking at the reviews, but it shows you the reviews of your friends first, then it shows you the highly rated ones.
Super smart. Bob, can you click on Guns and Aliens?
The DLC?
Because this is so crucial, we have to hear
No,
about
no,
the
it
DLC.
Is. Because I think it's rated pretty good for some reason.
Mostly positive, 18 reviews, though.
I don't know why I did this.
17 of them are the actual developers.
I have to apologize for everybody for wasting the last 3 minutes of their life. Let's move it on.
All right. Can I talk about Life is Strange now?
Sure.
Yep.
We delayed the starting of the podcast for 2 hours because Chad was almost done with this game.
All right. Wait, hold on. If anybody has played Life is Strange, they know that when you get to episode 5, you can't stop playing episode 5. Like episode.
That's funny, because up until that point, you're like, oh, I'm only playing this because Bobby liked it.
It's true. 1, 2, and 3 was a struggle for me. Mm. Then 4 got good, and then 5, which is wrapping shit up, like goes ballistic.
They're committed.
Yeah. I'm like almost crying in there. Like, wow. Like it's, I'm getting emotional. Like, Bobby knows, right? Episode yeah. 5, like, shit goes down.
It's a rough one. Did you finish the game?
I did.
Okay. And what was your final decision?
Well, I don't want to share because I don't want to spoil.
I might play it.
Sam is actually going to play it because I've been telling her she should.
Every time I walk by his bedroom, it looks like he's looking at hentai. It's like two girls in a bed and they're very Japanese looking.
Japanese
looking? You are kind of Japanese looking.
I can't shake that. It looks like Japanese art to me.
So the art style is really cool in this game. Let me preface it, if you guys haven't heard this before, this was Bobby's game of the year for 2015. I said I was going to play it through because neither of us had played it.
Right.
So I wanted to play it through, see what all the deal was about, why Bobby gave it game of the year. So the art style is really cool because it is it's a 3D rendered game, but instead of using textures, they use painted. Their textures are painted.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're looking at it, it looks like it's painted a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It's got brush strokes and everything like mm-hmm. that, but they've modeled it on 3D models. So it looks very cool, very like artistic, very...
Street Fighter 4?
No. More...
That's what they were going for.
More artistic than that.
Mm.
Like, yeah, it's got a different texture than you're used to seeing in most games.
Like Salvador Dali?
Not only that, but they do like, a lot of depth of field, a lot of stuff with the lighting, a lot of mm-hmm. stuff that makes sense because the game's about a girl who's really into photography. So
yeah, so it really plays up the photography. And a lot of the stuff you'll look at, and it's not crisp, but they do that on purpose. It'll just be a couple brush strokes, and that's supposed to be somebody's face.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not supposed to... It's not supposed to be clean and crisp. It's supposed to be kind of drawn, and you need to use a little bit of your imagination.
Yeah, it's a little bit of an impressionistic style.
Exactly. Mm. So, like I said, 1, 2, and 3... were fun, but I probably wouldn't have kept it up, except I had said that I was going to get through this because I was going to review this. 4 got really, really out there.
Mm-hmm.
And then 5, which is one of my little pet peeves. I wish 1 and 2 had been a little more intense because 4 and 5 are very intense.
Mm-hmm.
And I just worry how many people have been just... stop playing the game after 1 and 2 because, you know, they didn't know where the story was going to go and they didn't know what was going to be going on and all.
I can see that.
So, I'm glad I got through the game. I'm not sure if I give it game of the year, but it was an emotional impact for me. I was telling Sam, it was like, you know, you get out of one of these heavy movies and you just need some time to you know, think on what you just experienced.
Mm.
Like, that's how I felt after I wrapped this game.
Crying in your pillow?
It's not like cry, but it's like it was just emotional.
Wow.
Like stuff's going on, and you know you're making choices and all. A little side note: I don't want to spoil anything, but Bobby, have you looked? Is there more than the two options at the end? Are there hidden options that you can do, or is the two options the two options?
Not that I know of. As far as I know, yeah, you have to make a decision at the end and go one way or the other.
Okay.
Right? Actually, Chad, it was only an hour that he had left in the game, but. The other hour was trying him to get him out of the room after the game.
Yeah.
I was like, dude, are you going to come out? And he's like...
after this podcast, Bobby, you and I, let's talk a little bit. But
yeah, we'll talk about the decision that you made. But what I really liked about that is that one thing that games don't do that movies can do, and as much as I love games and I want to say, oh, they're the best medium ever, like... movies can really change your perspective on something, and they can make you be introspective and think about yourself as a person, kind of be a reflection on you and go like, huh, and make you think about these deep kind of things. And you never really see that in games. I don't think – I think Jonathan Blow said this in one of his speeches at a college or something. He's like, nobody would ever say a game changed their life. I mean, like the story of a game that – no one's ever really been moved to that unless they're young or very, you know – like nobody says that, but there's a ton of movies, you know.
I would completely disagree with that. Mm-hmm. I think a game like WoW has changed more people's lives than any Whoa. Other movie.
Not more emotional.
Yeah, exactly. Like no one's going to be like, oh, this game was like my Schindler's List, you know. It's like nobody says that kind of shit. I mean, you can watch a movie and that can just make you realize something about yourself, or, you know, change the way that you look at the world or something like that. But for the most part, games don't do that.
But Bob, or Chad, you said the Talos principle made you
look at yourself, right? Was really good. Like,
well, there are games that come close. And yeah, the Talos principle is a great example. And also this game, Life is Strange. I mean, the decision that you make at the end is a direct reflection on you.
I'm
and
gonna
what
have to play this game. Fuck, you guys me keep too. Bringing it up.
No, well, you should play. Just watch Sam play. Okay, you should sit and watch Sam play, because honestly, this
watch you play with
and,
itself.
And
right?
This is one of the things all that the I struggle with. Life is Strange is not a game in the sense that there's not game elements. You can the more you explore, the more you can be rewarded, but you don't have to explore at all. Like.
I see.
You know what I mean?
Though? I think this is one thing I liked about it, too, is I think it had more puzzles than your typical Telltale game.
And I agree with you, but you took Telltale as the standard, and then Life is Strange did so many more things that you liked on top of that.
Yeah.
And well, but I've always said that Telltale is not a game to me. Yeah, it's basically a movie that I make a couple options
with. Well, they are now, but they used to put a lot more puzzles in their game. But the problem that I have with Telltale games is the puzzles don't mean anything. They're find this item and put it here. You know, it's a simple task that doesn't really add anything to the story. But the thing with Life is Strange is the girl has the power to rewind time, and you can actually use that mechanic to solve problems and change your decisions, which are integral to the story. So it makes a little bit more sense. It ties into it.
True.
But Jed, who cares what you call it? Is it enjoyable? Back to that.
I'm glad I played the game.
Right.
And
the Telltale series, I mean, are you...
I mean, Wolf is Strange. I mean, Wolf is the Wolf Among Us.
Yeah.
Wolf is Strange. The Wolf Among Us.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed the first chapter, but I haven't gotten back to it.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't hook me.
I really enjoyed
like,
it as well.
It doesn't make me want to play
it. Maybe if you force yourself like you did on this one.
It's true.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that's the same thing. Like, and when you get invested in the characters, then you get rewarded for it.
You need to also agree that if you ramp up a story like this one sounds like it does, that's a skill in its own self.
It's true.
To say that 2 was more intense than 1, and 3 more than 2, and 4 more than 3.
And multiple times playing Life is Strange, I just appreciated the artistry. Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't try to push you forward. Like, there's sections where it doesn't have anything crazy going on. It's just the ambiance and the music and the experience, and you know, as a gamer, you get this like immediate, you want to just stuff coming at you and you want to experience and twitch, and this game doesn't always do that, and it was nice to appreciate that, you know what I mean? And the music in this game is awesome. There's this Bobby, there's the when they do the Vortex Club party.
Oh yeah,
they have the like DJ going. I was just rocking out to that for a while. Like, it was just a great fucking scene there.
I was, during that part, I think that's the fourth episode, they have a pool party at the school, and there's a DJ going. Yeah, we're seeing a little footage of here on on the Steam page. But there's this kid that was dancing. Oh, a lot of the kids are dancing around the pool. It totally doesn't seem safe anyway, too. You got speaker-wise.
Are you worried about their safety, Bob?
Well, I'm worried that a school would condone this. Like, yes, we're going to have a party next to the pool. Like, who the fuck would do that? Like, no, that's ridiculous. Anyway, there's this one guy dancing, and, like, I took some video of it. It's still on my computer because it was the funniest shit ever. It was just the model of this character and the way they had him moving was just so weird. His neck was kind of elongated. It was hysterical.
Can we put him next to the cheese vendor?
Yeah, maybe I'll upload that.
Here's the other thing.
Are you in the mode to dance?
Here's the other thing about this game. It's a female protagonist, which we don't get enough of. It's does not sell it on sex, which I appreciate. None of these girls, although they are feminine, they are not sexualized, which I appreciate. But they still experience things that a normal teenager would experience. Mm. I'm really curious to know how a woman would play this game and respond to it, because I appreciate.
Well, maybe we'll find out next week.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciated it. It felt real to me. It felt like it wasn't trying to be anything other than what it was. Like, I felt like it was like, okay, the main character's female. Let's just not dwell on that. Let's just, you know, like, this is just who it is, and we're going forward. It didn't have to take any special considerations or whatever. And I want to point out the actor that did the main character was amazing.
And why is she? Was she even nominated for Best Voice Actor?
This game won the Games for Impact, I think, the last video game awards, which is a category that they kind of just gloss over really quick, unfortunately. But it did get a little bit of recognition.
Well, it's overwhelmingly positive with 35,000, maybe 35,500. So I guess these two guys aren't wrong either. So
yeah, and it's just, it's so hard for me to talk about this and try to explain why I think it's such without a great spoilers. Game. Yeah, without spoiling. So maybe someday down the line when enough time has passed, we can just have a spoiler cast.
Yeah, but you're in for a long trip. Like, this is what, 20 hours of gameplay? 25 hours of gameplay? How long did you play this for?
I don't
for?
Think it was that long. I want to say every episode is about 3 hours. Yeah, I definitely not over 20.
Okay. So, I mean, this takes some time investment. Yeah. And like I said,
but it's worth the payoff.
The story builds up slowly over time. So
is this longer than BioShock Infinite?
I would say it's...
About the same.
Yeah, it's going to seem like it goes quicker than that as well. It's probably about 15 hours. I got to see what my actual time played on this game was.
Cool. Yeah, so
let's move on.
So Life is Strange, great game.
Yeah. What else did I play? I can't say much about it. I played H1Z1. Basically, it's DayZ without that.
Are we going to play Battle Royale?
Fuck you, dude. Yeah. I invited you to play
it. Halfway through... Episode 5 of Life is Strange, and you're like, yo, H1Z1, Battle Royale,
Wiping tears from... Like, I can't close I can't find my mouse. My tears are...
In the deepest shithole possible right now. Like, when you see Episode 5, you'll be like, wow, how did he even respond to you?
It's, you start on the beach, you start walking around, you start...
My God, look at those prices on gas.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Whoa, that's pretty high. A couple things that I noticed was you don't physically look out around for things. You can find things like, okay, that's definitely a duct tape, and that's definitely a can of water or a bottle of water. But other things you search, there's just a task bar that goes around, like a timer, like search this car, and it goes around. And that was like the biggest difference from DayZ that I noticed. Besides that, it's pretty much a clone of DayZ, but this runs much better. It controls much better.
So you're not wandering around in Jell-O like
exactly. DayZ? Yeah. And killing the zombies with the knife was pretty easy, but really quickly I got surrounded and outnumbered, and there's faster zombies than the regular ones. And once I lost respect for them, they gained the respect right back by eating my asshole out. I would not play this by myself.
Was it scary?
No, not really.
Even at night?
Nah, not really.
Do they do things with dark and light? Like, do you have to get a flashlight or...
It's DayZ, man.
Okay.
Is it really like DayZ? Because the last time I played DayZ, it was just so buggy.
But this is DayZ without the bugs, and
it's a little more polished of an experience.
Yes, much more. And the darkness is tolerable. You can play in the dark without a flashlight. But if you turn on your flashlight, it seems to attract the zombies.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure, but it seemed like they could see the light and they would come over. But go without it. The only reason I bought this is to play Battle Royale. Battle Royale basically should have its own game. I think just that concept of 12 characters, starting with a random item, and then the arena closing in until there's a victor, is a fucking fantastic thing to do. But this is the only one that I know of that does it.
We don't even have a Hunger Games style game.
Yeah, I mean...
It's so weird.
It seems like basic, right?
Yeah.
Especially since in the Hunger Games, they're basically playing a video game anyway, right? It's all controlled, and it's all digital. So they can literally do what... They could put a dragon in there, and it would be okay with lore or whatever, because it's all a digital dragon, but it can kill you. So
I'm really surprised they haven't transferred some of these titles over to video games, some of these movies. Like, that seems obvious. Hunger Games, I mean, they just, off the name alone, they'd make money.
It might be to the point where they've learned that anytime you turn a game into a movie or vice versa, it's going to tank.
Yeah, I mean, then they do it with other movies. I don't know. And why haven't they made an Ender's Game game yet?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe because that would sound weird.
Ender's Game game? Yeah.
Game.
All right. I just want to mention that Games Done Quick is going on right now. I don't know if you guys have been watching this at all, but it's a yearly thing they do on Twitch where people will speedrun different games. It's for charity. You can donate, but really, really interesting shit to watch. I watched someone speedrun the Talos Principle. Fucking amazing.
How long did they go to get through Talos Principle?
I didn't watch the whole thing.
They have to know all the...
It's all the glitches, basically.
Oh, they're glitching through it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I saw this guy use a box to jump on to the top of a wall, run over, and get right to the exit. Yeah, most speedruns these days involve using some sort of exploit. But yeah, Talos Principle, were doing Half-Life 2, like lots of good shit.
Talos, like, kind of wants you to do these glitches because they'll have, like, the red beams going way up there that you have to figure out how to get... Like, when I played through Talos Principle, I was like, okay, I'm just going to give up. I'm not even going to try to get all these, like, secret things because there's so many ways to... Like, they were all over the place, and I couldn't figure out any of them, so I just said, fuck it. I'm just giving up. Yeah.
But, you know, Talos Principle is a game that once you figure it out, you know how to solve that puzzle. So if you were to play Talos Principle again for a second time, then you would just blaze right through the whole thing. So I can see that being a pretty easy speedrun. But yeah, I just wanted to mention that. Game's Done Quick. Check it out on Twitch. I think it's still going on. But
cool.
I think that's all we've been playing. I mean,
Kingdoms of Amalur?
Oh, yeah. Kingdoms of
Amalur. Well, I was playing... I started playing this, and then I switched over to Life is Strange, so I didn't get much farther than I did the first time. The game's fun. I wanted to go back and see... You know, I always kind of rate this game highly because it did a lot of things that I liked. I wanted to see if it kind of held up. The graphics are starting to get a little dated. I forget how many years ago this game came out, but the graphics are looking a little dated, but still is a lot of fun, and I'm probably going to play this a little bit more just because it kind of hit my RPG itch. So that's all I'm saying with Kingdoms.
MMO, right?
It's not an MMO.
Oh.
It's an RPG. You play, you level, you switch. You switch what kind of roles you want to do. Like, you can put on the armor and the weapon for a mage and start doing fireballs, and then switch up to the daggers and do stealth, like, pretty much on the fly. So it's cool in that respect.
Nice. And so that came out 2012, at least on Steam. I don't know if it's the actual release date, but that was more recent than I thought.
Yeah, that is more recent.
All right, but I'm sure we'll be hearing more on that in weeks to come. And yeah, I guess that's all we've been playing this week. I've been playing the usual shit, but not worth talking about. You know, Heroes of the Storm, little VHD.
Yeah, I've been playing Hearthstone a little bit too, so.
Flame Break?
Flame Break.
Really good game. Holding up.
I just recently beat Hard Mode for the first time, and I beat the healing boss in Hard Mode.
The first one?
Yeah.
So there was a big patch. Did you see that?
Uh-uh.
So now you go in a... There's a particular order you have to be in, from least difficult to most difficult, perceived difficulty was what it said.
Okay.
But I think it reset my bosses because I have to kill somebody that I already killed.
Oh.
But anyway, they fixed a bunch of things and balance. So they're actively working on this, which is always good.
Is this still considered early access?
Yeah. And man, I am so... Like, you could just play this over and over and over.
It's the same thing as Binding of Isaac.
Yeah.
You can just keep playing this, and each time it's a new experience. You get new power-ups, you get new combinations on your weapons and your spells, and also...
Highly recommend that game.
Flame Break is the game we're talking about.
Cool. So let's talk a little esports. A lot of esports going on right now.
Well, you got to call a segment. Call a segment.
Esports Corner?
Yeah, Esports Corner. All right. So what are we talking about?
Woo, so much better now.
Yeah.
All right. So January
is a room of light.
January is when they do the Smite World Championships. And I was asking about this last week. I was like, doesn't Smite happen around this time of year? And I was also asking about this because I feel like I have not heard very much about Smite recently. I mean, I don't play the game anymore, but they're not on gosugamers.net, which is like, you know, the big esports site, and I don't know, I just feel like I haven't heard a lot of people talking about it. I checked out Twitch, and they didn't have a lot of people streaming it, so I was like, what's going on with the Smite community?
I think they've fallen off quite a bit. I don't know what it was.
Do you think it's that significant? Because I looked at Steam charts, and now, granted, a lot of people don't play Smite on Steam. They play it just on the normal high-res right. client. But Steam was 17,000, so not bad. Yeah. I mean, that's good. For a MOBA, I mean, shit, Dota 2 is like way the hell up there. League's way the hell up there. But a good way to tell is also when you're watching these world championships, how many viewers are they getting on Twitch? Heroes of the Storm, to give you an idea, had about 80,000. Dota 2 on the last game had almost 300 at one point for the very final games. 200,000. And that's just on the English stream.
Yeah.
So that one's massive.
What was Smite looking at?
Smite was at 35,000, which
But that wasn't the finals.
No, that was during just the normal bracket games. I don't know about the grand finals, how much that was at, but still, you know, if you're at 35,000 for the 2 days that I did watch it, that seems a lot lower. But still, it would have to be like nobody playing. I mean, Heroes of New Earth, people are still... there's nobody playing that game, but, you know, that's still happening. So it's not like Smite's at any risk of going away.
I think one of its issues is the prize pool wasn't there. This World Champions...
It was pretty big, 500,000?
Yeah, 500,000, though.
As opposed to their last year's...
Wasn't it a million last year?
Yeah, but that's what I mean. Like, last
year they said that they were going to do this. So I think one of two things is happening here. One... They did what they wanted to do. They're going to spread the money throughout the year. Remember, that was their whole thing. I brought it up like 3 weeks ago. Yeah. Or two, they're doing that because the money just isn't there this year. And so they're like, how can we mask this? Let's spread out a little bit.
Yeah, maybe. You know,
so it could
well, they also one. Did... They had a PC tournament, apparently, and an Xbox tournament.
They did, yeah.
Because this game is now on Xbox. And some of the streams I did check out were Smite on the Xbox, which seems so weird to me. I don't know how anyone could play that game with a controller, but...
And the other very weird thing was, you know, they asked the team leader, I guess, like, what did you think of the championship? He's like, it's just so easy on Xbox. And she's kind of, like, disheartened a little bit by that answer. And she's like, okay. Hey, what do you think? And she's like, yeah, this is kind of, like, a joke. Like, that's...
It's basically, from what I've heard, it has aim assist on Xbox.
Oh, really?
So you're playing Smite with aim assist.
Wow.
So,
right, but all the teams are.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I guess them, for guys, because the guys were guys from the PC market.
Yeah, we should clarify. We were skipping through and trying to watch the very last game of the PC version of the World Champions on Smite, and we landed on the Xbox one, and we saw the team that won, and of course they do the post-game interview, so the lady comes up and asks them, and she says, now you guys came from, you know, you're originally PC players on this game, competing on the PC version, and now you come over to Xbox, and the guy kind of made a comment saying, like, the Xbox was way too easy, and there were boos from the crowd, and the lady kind of like shrugged it off, like, oh, you guys, you know, fellas. And then she moved on to the next guy, and the next guy, and this was hilarious because the reaction on the lady, I've seen this so many times, the next guy said, yeah, we've only been playing for a month. And then I couldn't quite understand what he said afterwards, but it was not good, because she quickly pulled the mic away and was like, all right, and we're moving on to the next people.
You know? It's like the, you know, the Powerball was like 900 million this year. And so the lady goes up to this guy randomly, and she's like, you know, and this is just
cocaine,
like,
and hookers.
Yeah, right? He's like, what would you do with the money? He's like, a lot of cocaine and hookers. She's like, all right then, moving on. Back to you, Jimmy.
That shit cracks me up. But it was totally one of those types of situations. And I guess the... And, you know, we're PC gamers, so of course we're used to ragging on console gamers all the time.
But
cocaine and hookers guy, he kind of looked like Bobby.
Actually, yeah, he did. I'm thinking about it. He did feel a little bit. But
he did.
But, I got to see this guy.
But let's be honest, though. If you're having aim assist, but here's the thing. It's either harder than a mouse and keyboard with no aim assist.
Right.
Or it's easier with aim assist.
Right.
It comes down to how well it's programmed on.
Well, I think they had to do the aim assist because that seems like such a difficult game to land skilled shots.
Yeah, exactly. You have to.
Yeah. Otherwise, you would just see people whiff left and right, and that would just look terrible.
I'm thinking maybe because this thing, even on the PC one when they won, Xbox is written all over this tournament, right?
Yeah,
they were a big contributor.
They spent a lot of money.
Yeah, they probably sponsored quite a bit of it.
And I think maybe a lot of the dudes in the audience were Xbox just fanatics,
probably. You know?
Yeah.
So that's probably where the boost came from. I feel a little sorry for Xbox right now because, one, they lost here, I think. It was just a bad look for them. And, two, the whole Lara Croft thing.
What happened with Lara Croft?
Tomb Raider. They paid for the exclusive but didn't get anything out of it because they came out the same day that Fallout did. It's a good game and get good reviews, but nobody bought it.
Yeah.
Once
that's what happened.
You don't need to complain about Microsoft money. That they are doing fine.
Yeah, they'll be all right.
Yeah.
I think Windows 10 is doing very well.
Yeah.
It's on more systems than anything ever, I think.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
It sucks.
It's really
If you're going to talk, you got to be over here on
this. And be a man.
All right. So the PC version of Smite, the winners were Epsilon?
Spoilers, by the way.
The tournament's already over.
Okay.
Yeah.
Still.
Well, are we... You can spoil that. If someone wins the World Series, you're not like, all right, don't spoil it for anybody. Or the Super Bowl.
Epsilon
Did we won. Watch it in replay? Yes.
So, how was it? So, here's what I tried to watch a couple days, and they're playing characters I hadn't played before. Like,
no, I would say 80% I knew.
Did you?
Yeah. Well, that was just in the grand final, though.
Okay.
Yeah. But you know what? After watching so many Dota 2 and Heroes of the Storm competitive matches, I have a real hard time watching Smite just because of the camera angle.
It's tough. Yeah, you see individuals, but you don't see the team.
Yeah, well, you see the... It kind of has an aerial view, but not really. I think they need to take more of a higher angle so you can get the big picture.
Yeah, agreed.
And still, it's very difficult to understand what the players are doing because there's that disconnect. You don't... Someone can be behind you in Smite and you cannot see them because it's more of a first person point of view. But with Dota or Heroes or League, it's all just an aerial view. So, you know, the viewers have the same view as the players for the most part. So it's really easy to understand that and relate to it. But I had a little difficulty with Smite.
And that's always been a downside with Smite, is that you can't spectate in the same way that you play the game.
Mm-hmm. I couldn't disagree with you guys more. I was watching Heroes of the Storm, and I was like, it's because I don't play it.
Yep.
I was like, I don't understand one fucking thing that's going on right now. It just looks like their health bars are running into their health bars, and then some of them die. And then Smite, I could understand everything that was going on, because I know the characters, and I know their moves.
Yeah.
So, I think it could go either way.
Well, yeah, it's being familiar with the games, but I think it's harder to capture a team fight on Smite than it is in Heroes of the Storm. I will say the camera work this year was a lot better than last year with the Smite World Championship.
I hope they're doing well, because I really like... Well, obviously, it used to be our favorite MOBA until, I guess, now it's Heroes of the Storm, if we were all to vote now, but... We're a big, big fan. I mean, we put in,
and it wasn't like Smite did anything wrong. We just had to move on. We moved on and started doing other things, right. You know. But we all highly recommend Smite. We don't have a bad thing to say about it, right?
No, not one. Yeah. I thought their free to play model is the best way to go about things.
Yeah,
is just make it.
And I still have the all God pack, so I can.
So does Bobby.
Still walk in and just.
Bro,
play
I gotta say though, like I.
You have no interest, huh?
Well, no, not in Smite, but there is so much downtime in a Smite match. It's the same thing with Dota 2 as well, just the game time. When you have a 45-minute game versus Heroes of the Storm, which is usually a 20-minute game, I mean, you gotta imagine there is a lot of downtime, a lot of people just in lanes doing nothing, and commentators just trying to spice it up to make it interesting.
But here's the deal. Would I rather play a 45-minute game where I can buy items and I feel like my character develops by itself, like I'm leveling my character up?
Well, as a player, yeah, it's a completely different experience. As a viewer, it gets a little boring, though.
Yeah, I don't know. Like,
I'm not sure if I like Heroes either. It's just like group fight, group fight, group fight,
which
is cool, but why have lanes even?
Yeah, exactly. And the thing that I don't like... the term soak pisses me off.
What's soak?
Heroes of the Storm, if you don't have somebody just standing there in lane, right. you're not getting the XP from the lane as right. much, right?
Well, it's more about spreading mm-hmm. your team out for a reason.
But I don't want to have a game where the concept of soak just exists right here, and other than that, you have no impact in the game. If there was last hits involved, if there was some skill involved, yeah, if there was some gameplay...
Compare soaking to farming. Farming takes four times as long, like Bobby's saying. I'm not on either side of the fence. I don't know what the answer is.
I'm not saying either one of them are right or wrong, but...
Most have a laning phase. You know, the first part of the game, people very rarely leave their lane, especially in Dota, but...
But I love that part. Like, well, the 2v2, like, how are they doing each other? How are they fighting with each other? Who's doing the last hits? Like... There's interest in the laning phase.
If you get surrounded, do you drop to your knees immediately yeah. or do you wait?
Yeah. As a crusader and six dudes are around you, do you blow all of them or...
See, after playing so much Heroes, like, I cannot go back to that style of gameplay. It just seems so slow to me. I agree. I feel like I could go, like, get a soda and, you know, take a piss and
like, the beginning back. Of Smite, they're getting all the buffs, right?
Yeah.
And the commentators are like... They're still talking about the picks and bans, you know? And yeah. So
there's just so much downtime in a 45-minute game. Yeah. And not to mention that, in a 20-minute game, your decisions are so much more important. You know, you can waste a little bit of time in a 45-minute game, and it's not going to have a big impact, as opposed to a 20-minute game. If you hesitate for just a little bit, then, like, that's an issue.
I know, but the concept of soak is just...
Well, the way they do that, and I think the reason why they did that yeah. is that it forces people to fight each other more.
I mean, I know, but take a look at this. Instead of a soak, what if you just put a little perk for getting last hits? Just a tiny bit. Put a little bit of skill involved in this instead of just existing there in the lane. If you put just a little bit of skill in there,
I agree.
I would have a lot more fun.
If you do that, it turns into more of a PvE game.
I know, but it all depends on how much skill. Like in Dota, if you don't get the last hit, you don't get any of the gold.
It's not that... I don't think that if you don't put skill in that area, then it detracts from the overall skill required to play the game. I think it reallocates that skill into another area. It's like, okay, so you need to just soak a lane, and then... But that means that you have to be better in other areas. You have to focus your talent in another part of the game. And there are so many other things in Heroes. For number one, it's the only MOBA that has multiple maps, like different kinds of maps.
But there should be some skill to soaking.
Yeah, I can totally
agree with that. If I hit the enemy player, I should be attacked by the minions.
Yeah.
Something.
Well, I mean, you can kill the wave, so your wave moves further. I mean, I don't know what you guys want from it. Like, last hits, what does that really do for you?
No. Bob has never liked the last hits ever.
I know, but the term forever. Soak just is... You're literally a sponge. That's what the term soak means. You're literally sitting there just absorbing XP and that's all you're doing. Like, that just...
You make that sound like an easy task, and yet a lot of people struggle with that concept, though.
No, they struggle with knowing when to soak, but they don't struggle with with actually doing the soaking. Like, there's no skill in soaking. There's only the skill in knowing when to soak and when to teamfight.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of things you take into account with soaking as well. Like, a lot of times, and you'll see this in competitive games, they aren't going balls out trying to wipe the other...
So they're literally just standing there.
No, they're doing other things as well. There's a lot of rotations.
If you're soaking, what are you doing?
You're standing in the lane, yes. but you're fighting the other people. You make it sound like this is all the game, that all you do in the game. It's like, hey, if you want to play Heroes of the Storm, all you got to do is go stand in a lane.
I love Heroes of the Storm. I'm just saying that there is some room for improvement.
If I don't have to worry about last hitting minions, then I can focus on fighting the other team.
Not even last hit. Just give me an XP bonus if I hit the other minion.
These are all things that are done to...
at some point, at all. No? Okay.
We'll see if
I think it's just an old concept, like the whole idea of last hitting, like all that stuff. But like, I don't see
there's
the
no skill in staying alive, or very little skill in staying alive. You could just stay alive and soak, right? You could just run away from the other team. You don't even have to fight. You don't have to engage. You could just wait in the back.
Well, you aren't going to be very valuable to your team if you do that.
But you're soaking. You are being valuable, right?
Well, you're getting XP, but so is the other team. The other team is also...
But only if they're doing what what they should be doing, which is standing there, sitting there waiting for XP to come into their coffers.
This game is not just 10 people standing in line. Yeah,
no, I like this.
Both are.
No, because you guys are just like, oh, all you got to do to play Heroes of the Storm is stand in a lane and soak XP, and
there is a point of the game where that's what you're doing.
Right. No, there is absolutely no point in the game where all you do is go into a lane and stand there to soak XP.
But there is part, because you tell me, hey, we need to soak all three lanes, and I say, okay. So I go down the lane, now do I use my abilities to damage the lane, or do I stand there? Is it beneficial for me to not hurt the minions, or...
All I'm saying is, after Chad drops to his knees, he soaks right to the face.
I feel you, Chad. I feel you.
Bobby's getting defensive because he thinks I'm talking shit about his game, and I'm not talking shit. I'm just saying no game is perfect, and there's a little room
for improvement. Well, see, that's the thing, dude. I feel like Heroes of the Storm has improved upon the whole MOBA genre in general. And I think it's done away with boring parts of the game. And that's what MOBAs were originally. They took elements of different games and they kind of made this new amalgamation of it. And I feel like here's...
Bob, so you're in lane, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
how long are we going to talk about this?
And you're skirmishing back and forth and you're each going back and forth with the other team and you're soaking the lane because obviously you're there skirmishing back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're avoiding the skirmishes and you're just sitting back. That's option two.
No, see, that's the problem. You're not... Again, what I said about a 20-minute game, every second is valuable. So, you know, if you're in lane and you're fighting somebody else, then first of all, this does a couple of things. You sometimes don't need two people in a lane. You can have one person in there soaking and combating another person.
And then you can lower your voice.
Sorry, I just my bad. That was loud. I apologize. Hey.
It's a good game.
But they could do a little more with the soak. That's all I'm saying. Okay. Have a little more skill involved.
Hot fucking box! More...
this is the problem that I have. People are like, yeah, that game doesn't require any skill. And then they go and play the game and they don't do very well in it.
You need to be really good at team fights.
You need to be good at a lot of things. You need to know when to do something and where to be at certain times. And, you know, when you should pull out. When you should attack.
Much like the sex life.
Always, please. Not when, always.
You know, when, do you pull this out, or do you just go all in?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Always
pull out. All right, let's wrap this up. This is deteriorating.
Do we not have any news? We don't have any news this week? You didn't want to talk CES at all?
Next week.
All right.
Yeah.
Next week is our CES
wrap-up. Yep. Most of our news, actually, it was all Oculus stuff, so
gotcha. We
preloaded that.
Yeah.
All right, cool. If you want to support the podcast, you can click through our links. That doesn't cost you anything, and in some of the cases, saves you money. That's G2A will save you money. Amazon, if you need to get batteries for your ladies' dildo, whatever you got,
yep.
You can get it right there and support us without costing you anything. We have our Patreon, and also...
Thanks again for the new Spreaker listeners.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
So we're signed up with Spreaker. It kind of sounds like I'm saying speaker when I'm really drunk.
Yep.
Which is another... It's kind of like Stitcher, I think. It's like a Facebook for podcasts. So we're trying that out. So I think that's it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Everything's at dlgaming.net. That's where all those links are. Save yourself some money. Speaking for Bobby, Chad, Sam, and myself. Is it still Purple Cox?
I don't know.
Purple Cox. Big Purple Cox.
Huge!